Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Fight fans, and welcome to this issue of Knuckle Up on Sports Action Network Radio. It's your host, George Bowley, and sitting in is the editor at Scrap Fight Magazine and the MMA Corner, Mr. Josh Davis. He's on the road, so he should be calling us shortly. But a lot of news, still a lot of fallout. We have UFC 201 this weekend. We also have World Series of Fighting as well this weekend. So another night of some fights, you know, some great fights. Saturday, should I say. We should be ready to go. Saturday, like I said, World Series of Fighting 32 this Saturday. And UFC is also this Saturday as well, too. So I guess we're going to have to TiVo one and watch the other, or flip back and forth the way that I fight. But still, you know, if you're an avid fight fan, here we go, another great night of MMA fighting. So should definitely be all good. Definitely, should be worth watching. Just waiting right now for Josh to call in so we can get our show started. What's going on, brother? How are you?
Oh, enjoying the day, trying to save the world. Cannot wait for UFC 201. All of the fun stuff.
Hey, I can definitely dig it, man. It stopped raining here, so we're definitely good about that. You know, happy about that. So it's definitely all good. But this is the forgotten card. Before we get to that, any MMA news that we should be talking about?
You know, I got to be honest. We should be talking about a lot of MMA news, but we're not. And there's a reason for that, and that's because new ownership is keeping everything under wraps. I mean, we've had a couple fight announcements here and there, but nothing major. All of my inside sources are basically silent. I mean, the most inside information I have received, I received last night, and it was, you know, related to Ian McCall and Josh Scroggins' fight being pulled because Josh knew that he was not going to be able to make weight at all today. So they just went ahead and scrapped the fight. But, you know, new ownership, I'm not saying that they're being tight-lipped on things, just their new process isn't what the old one was, where they would, again, get all the information out to all of us so we could get it reported. It's interesting how things are going. And so if you look all across the board, MMA news this week has been mostly fighter interviews.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you the question. That being said, is it because it was loose, the way reporting was done before this? Because let's be honest, the majority of the news right now out there, and everybody's tracking, has always been UFC news in some form or fashion. You know, most of the sites out there that are reporting news, that's how they've been surviving, is basically, you know, how they could out-scoop somebody, get a story, or, you know, report something before somebody else did. Do you think that we're really going to see a change in that, and maybe they're taking a hold of the reins to be able to report what they want to report, when they want to report it, and how they want to report it?
Well, yes, I think we are going to see a change. I think right now, because again, don't forget who owns the UFC now and how they, you know, built their stable. They are a media company. Make no mistake about it. And so media is their bread and butter. And their vision is to get MMA on all your local news channels. Okay, so just like your local news channel is covering your local sports teams, okay, your local football team, your local baseball team, so on and so forth. They want MMA coverage to be the same way. They want local your Channel 9 news going down to whatever local gym and covering it. And they are going to do everything they can to make that happen. But one of the things they have to do first, as sad as it is to say, is eliminate the internet media. Because, again, with the big-time sports, you're not going to the internet for your media source. You might go to ESPN.com to read one of their stories, but you're still getting your media from ESPN. And ultimately, that's where they're going, and they're already setting it up now. I work closely with the Denver Post, and they're, which is Colorado's newspaper, and they're, you know, pumping the Denver Post with all kinds of information that the Denver Post will never print because they don't want anything to do with MMA. But that's how new ownership is doing things. And so, you know, we're going to have to wait and see if that, if they're successful with that or if they fall on their face. Because in order for that to be successful, enough local markets, enough, you know, Fox and ESPN all have to want to get behind it and move forward doing that. And they've shown in the past that they don't. And so, you know, I don't know if they think that, well, we own it now, we're easier to work with than the Fertittas were. Maybe we can get it done. Or they think, well, we're more powerful in the media, so we can get it done. I don't know. But that is what they're moving for. That's the house they're trying to build.
And we won't know until they start the process. But the bottom line is them doing that will put a lot of other people out of business if they decide to go that way, you know, because internet media has really what's kept this sport alive. Any way you look at it, any way you cut it, you know, I just don't see, quite honestly, how they can soar up that now all of a sudden, you know, that they're going big time. MMA is not new, you know. All media outlets now have had the ability to see MMA, understand what it is, and they've chosen to go to another path. So, you know what I mean? As far as their media and how they get their media or what they put on their TV and their networks. So I'm just curious to see what their strategy would be now to, for them to come out and say, okay, now it's time to get it on local news, when, you know, it hasn't been, you know, it hasn't been an issue before.
You know, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see if they can get it done, if they can get it to play out the way that they want to. You know, again, that makes them more mainstream and makes them more relevant to the big boys. And again, if you're on local news, it makes getting sponsors that much easier. So I understand where they're coming from. I don't know. I don't know that our society will ever accept that. You know, look at boxing, and you don't get boxing on your local 9 news. You might get the results of a Floyd Mayweather, you know, fight for like 5 seconds, but it's never going to be a focal point. And so I don't know that MMA would ever be a focal point either. But again, I'm not the one calling the shots. I'm just an individual watching everything happen. And so we'll see how it goes.
No doubt about it. What other news really is out there? I know we have 2 events on Saturday, 202 and World Series of Fighting 32. Those are really the main TV events that I've been looking at and kind of following. What else are we missing?
Well, Nate Diaz is unhappy again. Has come out and said that the UFC, using Nate's word, screwed him over again. So I'm assuming that had to do with everything that happened on the Conan O'Brien show. But Nate's not happy with the UFC. And when a Diaz brother is not happy with the UFC, you always have to question what their next move is.
Well, fill the fans in. What happened on the Conan O'Brien show?
Okay. So Nate was scheduled to do the Conan O'Brien show. And just from what Nate was told is it's, hey, Nate, we're just going to, you know, bring you on. We're going to talk a little bit about UFC 202, talk about your win at UFC 196, so on and so forth. And Nate not being a person that wants cameras in front of his face, was reluctant to do it. But, you know, the UFC said, hey, we're going to pay you this. We'll make it happen. Let's do it. And so, reluctantly, Nate agreed. And then the UFC had Conor McGregor film a little soundbite, a little video clip of him talking trash about Nate. The UFC fed Conor what Nate was wearing. And so Conor threw that in there. I hope Nate's not wearing his dumb black T-shirt that he always wears, this, that, and other, and just completely clowned on Nate. And then that was the end of the interview. Nate didn't get a chance to say anything, didn't get a chance to have a rebuttal, nothing. And when the camera was on him, while Conor was saying this, you could see Nate's leg tap, and he was, you know, he was not happy. And then when they cut it, you could see Nate stand up and start pointing to the camera. He was not happy with just the way the whole thing went down. And again, he feels that the UFC stabbed him in the back.
Yeah, well, you know, Conor's their guy. You know, Conor's their man. Conor's their moneymaker. So for them, you know, they're hedging their bet by doing all this and basically creating this hype and this division, you know, and this seed of anger, or whatever it is that you want to call it, to sell tickets. It's, you know, look, it's a bad move, because if Conor McGregor loses again and he loses viciously, what are they going to do with their golden boy? You know, what are they going to do, you know, with him in that particular vein? You know what I mean? So,
you know,
it's crazy, but it's a bad move.
Yeah, it's a terrible move. It's a terrible move. 2016 is going to go down as the worst year in Conor McGregor's life. And I'm going to tell you why right now. UFC 196 back in March, he lost to Nate Diaz. Okay? And from there, it's in a downward spiral. He missed out on UFC 200 because he wanted to be dumb, because Nate was in his head. He's probably going to lose to Nate again at UFC 202. That's back-to-back losses. After that, they are going to force him to go down to 145 and defend his title, or flat-out relinquish it. He's not going to give up his title without a fight. So he's going to go through the grueling weight cut, put his body through all of that torture. And again, Conor's big now. You know, Conor's walking around at 180 pounds. He is a lot bigger than he once was. But he's going to drop back down to 145 and face Jose Aldo. Well, let's talk about this. The Jose Aldo that fought at UFC 200 and flat out just schooled Frankie Edgar, who's one of the best ever, is probably not a good matchup for Conor right now. Not to mention, Jose Aldo didn't even break a sweat in that fight with Frankie. He didn't sweat. He wasn't even breathing hard. That Jose Aldo was the best I've ever seen him. And if that's where he's at right now, we've talked about the holes in Conor's game. That could be three straight losses for Conor. That would be the end of Conor McGregor. Yes, he would still fight and he'd still be a draw, but the hype train would be done. There'd be nothing left of Conor McGregor.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's all he needs. That's all he needs. And then what do they do? You know, that move with Nate is like a WWE move. You know what I mean? To draw the pull
Ronda's
people in. And
there's no Brock. Can you not hear
me?
Hello? Okay.
Yeah, you're
good.
Breaking
UFC's, up a little bit. The UFC is going to be in a world of hurts. All right? They've lost Jon Jones for 2 years. They've lost Ronda Rousey. They're, again, if it plays out like I said, then Conor's no longer the big draw that he was. There's no Brock Lesnar. There's no real big money draw in the UFC. There's a bunch of great fighters, absolutely, and there's a bunch of fighters that people want to see fight. But when you think about that $1 million pay-per-view, they don't have it. They don't have the guy anymore. You know, the Diaz brothers will always be solid pay-per-views, but they're going to cap, if it's just them and them alone, they're going to cap around 750,000 buys.
Right.
They don't have, you know, once they lose Conor, they don't have the million person draw anymore. They don't. And I can't believe that the UFC would allow for this to happen. Now, again, part of when all this got set up, the UFC, the Fertittas, Dana White knew that they were selling the UFC, and I think, quite frankly, didn't care. And we're like,
right.
You know what? If you want to flame away your career, we're not going to be here anymore. We're not going to be making that money anyways. So it doesn't matter to us. Other than that, I can't see why they would have allowed this to happen, because at the end of the day, they're smarter than I am. That's why they're where they are and I'm where I am. There's no way they didn't think about this. There's no way that they didn't break it down like I just did and have that conversation. And if they did, there's no way that they would put Conor in a position to allow that to happen. But they don't care because they're not a part of it anymore, and New York can't do anything to stop it.
Right. Do we know who the new chairman and CEO is going to be?
Well, the word that I'm getting is actually going to be Dana.
So he's going to be the president and CEO?
President and CEO, Dan White. Now, that's on a 4-year contract is what I have been told. And at the end of that 4 years, whoever he is grooming right now, because that is all a part of the contract, whoever he's grooming right now to run the show would essentially take over at that time.
It's a risky move.
But until then, Dana's running day-to-day operations. Dana's in full control. And to be honest, I don't know how different that is from what was already going on. Yes, the Fertittas were involved and they made certain decisions, but it's not like their main focus was Zuffa. It never was. Their main focus has always been station casinos. And so, you know, if you just break it down and how much time they actually had to run Zuffa on a day-to-day basis, it was probably zero. So having Dana as the title holder of president and CEO, I don't know that he's going to be doing any different duties than what he was already doing.
Yeah, but the problem with that is Dana had also made, as you know and I know, had made a lot of enemies in the sports and the media industry and things like that. And it took people like Lorenzo to come in and calm the waters, even with fighters. You know, fighters are now coming out and saying, yeah, they like to do business with Lorenzo. They only talk to Lorenzo when it comes to fights and deals and stuff like that. They never really spoke to Dana. And so what does that say now for a lot of those fighters that have to deal with Dana? And, you know, Dana's a businessman, but Dana also has favorites. If Dana likes you, he likes you. If he doesn't like you, he's vocal about it. He'll kick your back in, even though you fight for him. You know what I mean? I mean, how does that work? How does that work?
Well, I think moving forward, Sean Shelby and Joe Silva are going to be main talent control. You know, if you're getting into the UFC, it's going through them. Contracts, all of that kind of stuff, market value is going to run through those two. Now, that doesn't mean that Dana's not going to come in and say, hey, I like this guy, we're signing him to this contract, whether you guys like it or not. I'm sure he will still do that, just like he does now. But make no mistake about it, you know, if you're going to get into the UFC, you have to get either Sean or Joe's approval first. If they're not on board with you fighting for them, it literally does take Dana White coming in and saying, hey, I signed this guy. This is the contract I signed him to. Get him into rotation. If Dana doesn't do that, then it is, you know, Sean says you need to win 4 more fights against opponents that have 13 wins or more. Then that's what you need to do. So I don't really think that that'll change. And I think, again, the market value is still going to come from Joe and Sean and them stating, hey, this is what we pay our new tier fighters. You're a new tier fighter. We're going to give you a 4-fight contract at this deal. Take it or leave it.
Right. All right. Well, let's hold off there. I think we have about 10 minutes left. Let's discuss some of these fight cards. UFC 202, where do you want to start? You want to start the main card, prelims? Where do you think you want to start?
You know, you brought up the fact that this is the forgotten card, and it is. And when you look at this card, it shouldn't be forgotten because there are some decent fights on here. From top to bottom, they've snuck in a ton of talent. You know, so, yeah, I like this card. I mean, we have limited time, so I say we'll start at the main card. But you got Ed Herman in the prelims. You know, it's this card is stacked from top to bottom.
Yeah, look, it definitely is. I mean, look, you have Eric Perez versus Rivera. You know, you have, like I said, Pearson versus Masvidal. By the way, that's not a prelim fight. That should be a main event fight, if I'm just being honest. You know, but I understand during the prelims you have to give, you know, fans the ability to want to watch and step up. But there are some great fights, in, you know, on this particular card. But like I said, nobody really knows about it. Nobody's really been paying attention, you know, when it comes to this fight card. It's just interesting.
Well, and again, and we've talked about this before, a big part of that is the UFC has known, really, you know, since this time last year that UFC 200 was it for them, that they were out after 200. If 200 wasn't on the horizon, they probably would have sold last year. But because of 200, they didn't. Why that is important is because they stopped marketing, promoting, doing everything after 200. They didn't even throw out a schedule until, what, 10 weeks ago of any other fights. And the only reason they did that is because everything happened in New York, and New York got approved. So they had to schedule 205. But had that not happened, the UFC had never planned on putting any of their energy past 200 because they knew they weren't going to be around to be a part of it. And so as the new company moves in, you can't, they just got it at the beginning of the month. There's not enough time to get all the promotion done the way they want it done for 201. So they just scrapped it, not even focusing on it, threw out a couple commercials, which were already previously recorded. Expect the big focus to start UFC 203 and moving forward. And that's when we'll really see what new media stuff they're going to be doing, their new production style, all of that kind of stuff.
All right, well, let's start at the top. How do you see the top of the card, Tyrone Woodley and Robbie Lawler?
You know, I love Tyrone. I do. I don't think he deserves this fight, if I'm just being honest. I think he should have had to fight somebody. I mean, he got this title shot because Johnny Hendricks missed weight. He hasn't fought anyone in well over a year. No, I don't. I think other people deserve the shot in front of him. However, with that being said, I think he presents a very interesting matchup problem for Robbie Lawler. Can Robbie stuff his takedowns? Can Robbie deal with the constant level changes? Can Robbie do the things that Carlos Condit couldn't do when he fought Tyrone Woodley? So it's going to be interesting to see. But I think Robbie wins this fight. I think Robbie's able to stuff the takedowns. I think Robbie's able to punish him on the feet. And I think very similar to what Nate Marquardt was able to do when he defeated Tyrone for the Strikeforce title, I think Robbie Lawler will implement a very similar game plan and have a very similar result.
All right. Co-main event, Rose versus Carolina.
You know, obviously, Rose is my friend. Love Rose to death. And so I'm going to tell everyone, don't sleep on Rose in this fight. Yes, Carolina's 9-0, and she's got a lot of hype behind her. But all I can say is don't forget about Rose. Don't forget about the things she's done. Don't forget about the way she just dominated Paige VanZant in their last fight. I'm going with Rose. I think she's gonna surprise some people.
Yeah, the Polish fighters have some strong fighters coming out now, man. But, you know, Rose is a tough fighter. You know, the name Thug really is, you know, really fits her. But I this is a fight I really want to see. Next fight I really want to see, really, that we didn't talk about was Brown versus Ellenberger.
You know, this fight I love. All right, I'm a huge Matt Brown supporter. I think he, just toughness-wise, I think he's one of the toughest guys I've ever met in my life. I do think Jake Ellenberger is overrated. I don't think he's as good as everyone else does. Now, it's not that I think he's bad. He's not. He's a world-class fighter. I just don't think that he's up there with the elite of the elite. And I think Matt Brown is going to be able to expose him. I Jake should win this fight, but I think Matt Brown's going to.
Because Matt is a grinder. You know, I'm not saying that Jake isn't a grinder, but it seems like some of the guys really that put pressure on Jake, he just crumbles, you know. And maybe it could just be things that he's going through in his life. But the last couple of fights with guys that put some pressure on him, you know, he slipped when he should have, you know, bobbed and got caught and didn't know how to recover, and it's just heartbreaking. I think he's talented, you know, but I think Matt Brown, you know, is just a grinder. He looks to exploit, not sometimes, all the time. And Matt Brown will risk getting knocked out to get what he wants than to sit back and play it safe. That's what makes him an exciting fighter.
That's exactly it. And, again, I think this is, like I said, I think Jake probably has more weight to win this fight. If we're just on paper, fighter versus fighter, yeah, Jake has more weight to win. Matt's the better fighter. When you think about what fighting is and what fighting is about, Matt is the better fighter. Matt's going to dig deeper. Matt's going to do more things to win a fight than Jake will. And I think because of that, Matt's going to come out on top.
No doubt about it. Let's switch really quick. I think we only have about really 3 minutes left to the World Series of Fighting. You know, we have two back-to-back fights, or rematch is what I say, Morales versus Hill 2 and Amida versus Palmer. You know, World Series of Fighting is changing. They're making some big moves, you know, and really trying to step up. And to be honest with you, I'm really excited, quite honestly, for some of the things that I'm hearing that they're doing. You know, because it makes it seem like that they want to be relevant. You know, people aren't just satisfied with them being the number three, should I say. You know what I mean? They want to be relevant in the sport. They want to be taken seriously. What are you hearing from World Series of Fighting, just on your end?
I'm hearing big things. And again, I just interviewed Ray the other day. He's got big things planned, and he, too, is not satisfied with people calling him the number three promotion. He wants to be the clear number two. I mean, he knows that dethroning the UFC at this point in time is never going to happen. I mean, they would seriously have to crumble. But he wants to outdo Bellator. He wants to outdo Titan. He wants to outdo RFA. He wants to be the premier second-tier organization in the world, not just the United States. And so they're going to spend some money to make it happen. They're trying to sign fighters that aren't just UFC cast-offs, and they're really gonna make a go of this. You know, they're done just sitting in the baby pool. They're now going to start diving off the diving board.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it, you know. And it's time. It's definitely time, you know. People don't understand that this makes it good for every fighter. It makes it good for every fighter when that are viable promotions, okay? The UFC probably has, 500-600 fighters. They can't really facilitate those 500-600 fighters. But having no promotions out there brings talent to the table, great talent, exposure. You know this, brother, from us doing scrap all these years. What's the number one thing, man, people hear from us? Oh, well, you know, if I could just be seen, if I could just do this. And that's what we've kind of done at scrap, if you remember. Some of the fighters that we put on our cover, for first cover story that we ever did, scrap was the one that gave them the first cover story. You know, they never forgot. Some of them became world champions. But it's just amazing. So having promotions like these gives these fighters the opportunity to do what they love to do, you know. And that's what I like about it. That's what I like about it a lot. So it's definitely
the one thing I will say about World Series of Fighting, it doesn't matter what fighter you talk to. Every one of them loves fighting for Ray. They do. They all say that they get paid fairly, that dealing with Ray is awesome. They all love him. You know, Justin Gaethje, for instance, turns the UFC down on a regular basis because he loves fighting for Ray Cifo.
No doubt about it. Well, we're going to have to hold it right there, brother. Don't forget, for this or any podcast, you can go to the Google Play Marketplace, download the Sports Action Network mobile app. I want to thank you, man, for sitting in, even though I know you're on the road. Don't forget, for this or any other MMA news, you can go to the MMA Corner. That's themmacorner.com. Everybody else, stay knuckled up, and we will talk next week.
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists, and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.